Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 131, Pictures of That Chick from Lost.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
Big Tag.
And Anvil.
And ladies and gentlemen, they finally invented a gun that shuts people up.
It's not a good thing.
It's called Bullet to the Forehead. They invented that a long time ago.
They also invented a portal gun.
They did. But this is a gun that doesn't cause harm, but shuts up annoying people. What it does,
it's sensory deprivation or some stupid fucked up thing.
Did it help shut up ex-wives?
Yes.
I might get married now.
See, how it works is there's this microphone that's attached to it. It picks up the sound being made by the target and plays it back 0.2 seconds later. And then it confuses the human brain, making it impossible for them to talk or hold a conversation.
It's probably not to confuse those people's brains, actually.
Yeah, well, the only thing I could see this doing is 1984 from George L. Orwell, is they're going to basically, use it on the masses, and yeah, it's not going to be good.
Or I'm going to bring it into work for everybody I don't like to hear from.
Yeah,
that's true. Or we can bring it into the Republican National Convention and just...
Whoa. Everybody but confused as it is.
Everybody but yeah. Ron Paul. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Moving away from politics yet again.
Yes. Okay, I have a bit of an oh for fuck's sake.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
So, recently, in St. Petersburg, Russia...
Whoa. When did we start going to Russia?
We started going now because this is very important, my friend.
In St. Petersburg,
I know what you're about to talk about, and I don't want to talk about that.
In St. Petersburg, Russia goes to you.
Yes.
Ah, I did it.
In America, you spend lots of money. In Russia, we have no money. You'll love that comedian.
St. Petersburg legislature approved a bill banning the promotion of homosexuality. That's a bad clap, my friend. So our friends in the GLBT community cannot promote themselves in Russia. Well, this is the part that's going to make you stop clapping, my friend. Because its initiator has promised that when the bill comes to force, he will personally have German rock band Rammstein penalized.
What?
How does that work?
You were clapping I'm going to troll everybody. I'm clapping now. Everybody hates me.
Wait. How do you penalize a band from another country?
Because when they perform live in concert, you know how Till Lindemann will go up to flake the keyboardist and start dry-humping him from behind sometimes.
So if he makes his keyboard look more like a woman, will he be allowed back in this?
Or if they perform the song Boot Dish, or meaning Bend Down, and they pull out the dildo?
They will be fined almost $50,000.
Wow.
Is this just to get rid of Rammstein? Is this another right-wing nut job?
This is a right-wing nut job trying to get rid of Rammstein. That was the only reason why he was trying to pass his law to begin with.
Was Rammstein?
Was Rammstein.
Just do what our country does. Don't allow them to do pyrotechnics and they won't ever come to your country.
Well, they are coming back here.
Good.
And I'm seeing them in April.
Well, guess what? Concert outside this guy's house.
Wait till he comes out to protest and then dry hump the shit out of him.
Yep.
You know, all these guys end up being in the closet, so in a week or two, we're going to hear about him, like, sliding his foot underneath the urinal or something.
Yeah. I wasn't... I have a stance problem. I need a wide stance to poop. Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
When I went to Cambodia, it was a real woman.
It was sensual. With a boy.
It was not the boy in drag, I swear.
This is just a bad law to begin with, and a really horrible reason to try to pass it in the first place. I'm sorry, but that just pisses me off for many reasons. As a friend to the GLBT community, and as a hardcore Rammstein fan.
It makes me upset as a member of society.
That too. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just terrible. Mm. Well, why don't we move on to some cooler things. Happier things.
Let's all be gay.
Get it right. It's okay to be takay.
Yes. You do know there's another meeting called happy, and they're awfully happy, so...
Yes, of course.
Let's all be happy.
Yes.
I'm still not coming back to the table. I refuse to be happy.
I'm miserable, and I'm sitting here.
Alright.
So one of our favorite hip-hop artists just came out with a brand new album. Bus Driver.
And what is this called?
Bows and Arrows.
Oh, okay, because I can't... I thought I was going to say because Eros or something like that. I was
Bows,
like,
Bows and Arrows, yeah. Bows and Arrows. Bows as in beauties and arrows as the goddess of love. Or the god of love. And ladies and gentlemen... Before one listens to a Bus Driver album, they need but one thing.
Whoa!
A dictionary.
Dude, you almost broke the table.
Yeah, no shit.
The whole thing moved.
Tone it down there, Spanky.
Because I gotta tell you something. When you listen to a Bus Driver album, you learn some new words. Like, for existence.
For existence,
yes. Well, I guess they taught you that word too, huh?
There's a song called Color Wheel, and he uses... Then he says the line, but I've cheated on love all due to ennui. Now, I was scratching my head, what does ennui mean? So I'm flipping through the dictionary, and I find that it means a feeling of listlessness and
Yes,
that's what you do when you...
Perhaps you should read this dictionary a little bit more.
Right.
What circa year... Oh, that's 12th edition, Jesus. I think we're on like 50th.
Yes.
Holy hell.
A feeling of listlessness and dissatisfaction arising from a lack of occupation or excitement. That is ennui. Or cummerbund, which was used in the same word.
Dude, I know what a cummerbund is. It's part of a tuxedo.
Oh, I thought it was a different type of sweet bun.
No, it actually goes around your waist in a tuxedo.
You would know this?
I've been in weddings.
Right.
Is the crasher.
Actually, I've been the best man like 3 times.
As the veteran. Anyways.
Living in the, you know, in the coat room.
So, this new album, Bows and Arrows, I feel like it's a lot more electronic based than his previous albums.
I feel
albums.
That there's a lot more of an artsy type thing to it, more instead of like his usual rap type thing.
So he's going more back to what he did with Cosmic Cleavage.
Possibly
along those lines, but I think because of the fact that he did Flashbang Grenada, that also kind of took away from it. So yes. It's kind of like that, you know, that rap that he was doing with Flashbang Grenada was kind of like, you know, that was a little bit more
mainstream a bit.
Mainstream, but when he's coming back to this, now he's just like, you know what, I want to throw kind of like an art spin on it, kind of like how Serge Tankian, you know, does with his music.
With like what he did with Imperfect Harmonies.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, from what I was listening to on this album and everything like that, it's It's not up to the usual bus driver snuff that I'm used to listening to, but, I mean, it's pretty fair. It's a fair album.
It's still better than most of this mainstream stuff that we hear on the radio. It's not about bitches and hoes and all that fun stuff.
He only mentions that just to make fun of those fuckers.
Yes. I mean, when you got, like, a song like Ass to Mouth, when you read the album title, you think it's going to be about what Amble's thinking about right now. But no, it's about people that force-feed lies and bullshit across the world. So that shit's coming out of their mouth. So their mouth is technically their ass.
I was thinking the human centipede, but okay.
Like South Park?
Yep.
And then you got a cool song like Kiss Me Back to Life.
Yeah, that if you get a chance to, actually, I think we should hook it on to this this podcast for the website. You know, just throw his music video from YouTube on
the whole creepy blacklight one.
It's kind of interesting because, like, the woman's, like, running around. She's all dolled up. She looks kind of weird in the first place.
She looks like Mimi from Drew Carey.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, so she's running around and stuff like that, and I guess, I don't know if she's actually, like, tripping out, or it's just, like, ghosts are trying to come after her, but it's a very interesting artistic form that he put to this, and I do like the song to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And especially Bus Driver's paint up, because, you know, he's got it all, so it's like the globe paint. It's almost kind of like Busta Rhymes, you know, that,
what he used to do?
Yeah, what he used to do on that one. I can't remember the music video.
I think it was the Wooha Wooha one.
No, there's another one.
The Wooha Wooha one?
No.
Wooha Wooha!
No.
Because we know the song.
No, wrong. No, totally wrong one.
Yeah.
I think it's the I Get You All in Check song or something like that. It's another one.
Okay.
But I mean, for the most part, with that's one of my favorite songs off this album. I mean, I know that's the one that he put out there to, you know, for promote people it. To promote it and promote the album, but.
Yes.
For the most part, I from what I was listening to, it's a fair album.
Yes. I like the one other song I like is called Here's to Us. I mean, you can't go wrong with a song
this is Robinson.
You can't go wrong with a song whose opening line is you've got a face like an imperiled vagina. I mean, he doesn't
See, somebody cannot breathe. That's the funny thing
about Bus Driver, because, like, I mean, even he says, like, in his songs and stuff like that, he's like, I'm no Noam Chomsky, and Noam Chomsky is, like, this brilliant scientist and stuff like that, but it's like, with the what he puts onto the music and stuff like that, he's ridiculous. Why? What's so funny?
I mean, he doesn't say the word pussy or any of the other bad other words for, but he just goes for the full on word. It sounds like something that someone in the New Yorker would say.
Yeah, but unless it's Flashbang Grenada with a song for, like, moisturizer.
Right. Oh! I say, you got a face like an impaled vagina. I do have.
He's got something horrible.
I do have a minor complaint about one song, and I do have to say this might be Bus Driver's worst song. Bon Bon Fire.
Yeah, Bon Bon Fire. I wasn't feeling that right off the bat.
It felt like an awful Tim and Eric Awesome Show Great Job sort of song.
That's ridiculous. All the
scores.
But, yeah, I didn't like Bon Bon Fire. That was the only track that tuned me out.
Yeah.
But altogether, while it didn't have the same kick as either Jelly Bean or Roadkill Overcoat, Bows and Arrows.
I think I love Roadkill Overcoat the most. I mean,
I think that's his most, like.
I just love Bus Driver. He's
that's,
a man.
That's a fucking. That is a good album. It's just straight out altogether. You can just listen it through it straight through.
Mm hmm. Agreed. But I feel like still Bows and Arrows, it continues on with his trend to basically overwrap every artist he comes across.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to see him go head-to-head with someone like Eminem or Jay-Z. I think he actually can take him down.
Yeah, but the only thing is popularity contest, they would go for Eminem no matter what.
Well, that's why you would have judges who are unbiased.
Not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen.
Unless they...
Unless you've got them in a bomb shelter from the 1950s.
Unless they all hate rap a lot, and then they don't want an opinion anyways to pick the worst and the best of the worst.
Yeah.
The least worst.
Because if they like it, odds are they have an opinion.
Right.
If they don't quite like it, they still listen to enough of it.
That's if you're trying to bring the fuckers to, like, American Idol or whatever the hell that is. Yes. X Factor and Simon Cowell, and you're just like, I just don't like it. Hold on, well, I shit all over you. Stay right there.
Or Howard Stern. America's Got Talent.
That I cannot wait for that, by the way.
It's going
to
be
That's great. Actually going to make me tune in to watch America's Got Talent.
Howard Stern. He should have a hose.
Yes, I was about to say that. Just hose the little kids.
Really?
Just like in UHF, what Stanley Spadalski does to the kid.
I'm listening to him comment about it on the radio a lot now when I'm at work and the like, and it's not just singing. There's like people like with trained birds and stuff who comes. It's a talent show. 100. Most people sing, but there's some beautiful acts from what I.
What's that one that they used to have like down in New York or something like that? And if the
Gong Show.
No, not the Gong Show.
No, David Tell's awesome though.
The other setup where it's if somebody was really bad, there would be a clown that would come out with a hook and they would
Live at the Apollo.
Yeah, there you go. So this is going to be basically the newer version of the Apollo. So it's just going to be, you know, these people coming onto the stage and making asses of themselves. And if it's good, I would be surprised if Howard Stern would actually give them, you know, the time of day to say, yeah, that was actually good.
He's a fair judge. He's the most fair from what I understand out of all of them. But
he still, is the most honest person in the world.
He attracts the crowd that's just going to be interesting. So
The only thing that I'm wondering about is he going to come out like Ass Man? You know,
Fart Man!
Yeah, the Fart Man.
Oh, the Fart
Guy. He's going to be waving his ass cheeks out at everybody again.
I don't know if they got, Will the Farter, I think, on there. I know Debbie the Pet Lady's supposed to. They want to know if they pass or not. They really thinks it might just be her sitting there with a bunch of birds on her as they poop on her and she yells at them. Which is entertaining, nonetheless. Yeah, he wanted the Fart Guy to be on there. He said, as much as that might not appeal to everybody, as tasteless as it is, everybody's going to go there and watch it just to laugh and be appalled at it. So it really is a talent that's worthwhile.
Yes. Because as long as it puts one smile on someone's face, it has done their job.
If it attracts people, there you go.
Exactly.
But yeah, back to Bus Driver here. I don't know how the hell we got to this point.
We were all over the board.
Yes.
Yes.
But Bus Driver, I'll give this album a 3.7 out of 5.
I'll give it a 4.1 out of 5. Because the only one I really didn't like was Bomb on Fire. And maybe this isn't his strongest to date. It's still pretty damn good.
I'll give it a 4.3.
Okay.
I haven't heard it.
We were just listening to it.
No, she's busy with his game.
I'm the game guy. I'm in my own world.
Yep. Ted goes into La La Land.
Yep.
All right. Well, speaking of games, some demos came out. And there's one full title that Tag will be talking about in a little bit. Yeah. A little bit about the game.
Yeah, and I'll make a mention of another that I was just doing and everybody was watching.
Okay, so...
Well, I wasn't listening to the CD.
So, this first demo, FIFA Street. And ladies and gentlemen, from what I saw in this demo, this is how to do soccer games wrong.
Alright, so let's put it this way. From watching... Okay, the fucking starting of the thing for the trailer and stuff like that, and when you're like, you're watching all these professional, you know, soccer players go through this game, yes, I'm impressed with them being able to bounce a ball on their knees and heads and whatever the hell else they want to do because it's really kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah,
so you watch the guys juggle golf balls on TV.
Yeah, I know.
You're a golfer.
But... For the most part, it's one of those things where the guys are really that great, but when you try to transcend it to the controls on the actual game, it's like impossible. I was trying to do everything from, you know, deke the guys out and all this other stuff, but it wasn't happening. But the only thing that I have to say that's cool about this version of soccer is it's no out of bounds unless you kick it over the fence tops and stuff like that. I mean, literally, you could play the... it's almost like a hockey setup. It's almost... You could play it off the wall. You could actually, you know, do stuff a little bit better on this. But as doing the tricks and stuff like that, you really have to know what you're doing with the controls in order to do the tricks to get by the guy and put it in the friggin' net. It's really that hardcore. It's
less soccer focused and more focused on doing tricks.
Yeah, it's more focused on doing the ridiculous tricks, like
NBA Jam versus a normal NBA. Yeah, mainly right. Like insane jump.
Now, like
the difference here, though, is that NBA Jam is good.
Yeah.
This here is shit on a sandwich.
All I could say is maybe not in America, because soccer isn't as popular.
Yes.
Unless it's among other ethnic groups, but for the most part, it's along the lines that if you were to go to, like, Africa, Australia, and a couple other of those, you know, places like that.
Everywhere but here.
Basically everywhere but here, they love the shit out of, you know, soccer, because it's a simple game, you know, running around, chasing a ball with your feet. That's it.
Yes.
Or the original football, as they call it.
Mm-hmm. Football.
And you know what? I'm pissed in this demo you could not change the angle, because that was what was keeping me from actually having any fun whatsoever. Yeah, I cannot play this game in spectator mode.
They kept it in, like, your ass in the seat, but for some reason, your ass and the seat was still moving along with the character in the crowd. So you're like, yeah, this is not cool, you know?
Yeah.
So there wasn't, I couldn't really find any place to change, or, you know, that was accessible to change the view on the camera and stuff like that. So it was not flowing as much as I would like to.
Yes.
At least they gave you four different teams to choose. I can give them that.
And they gave you that nice Amsterdam arena.
Yeah, the Amsterdam arena was nice.
It was very
nice. So you could just walk off the friggin' place and get messed up, you know, drunk, high, all that other fun stuff.
Yeah,
Because I don't think they test for roids or drugs or anything.
Yay for legalized weed in Amsterdam!
Yeah, right. Anyways, but FIFA Street, I'm not feeling it, because they had another FIFA Street or something along those lines.
A while back, which was good!
It was very interesting, especially the commercial that they made, because of the fact that they were doing weird and awesome tricks, but they were also kicking it around, like, the friggin' tops of buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was interesting that way, but when it's awesome to do these interesting trailers and stuff like that, but when you turn this back to the game, you're not able to really do almost all the stuff that they were showing in the trailer.
Right.
So it's like, it's kind of false advertisement.
It is.
Because
games can't freestyle.
Yeah.
Games cannot freestyle.
Just glad they didn't try to hook this up to, like, Kinect or some shit.
Well,
that would have been fine, though. Soccer on Kinect is fun.
Yeah, you miss, kick your TV.
Or in my case, I'd kick the table in front of my TV, taking out the TV and myself at the same time.
I know, he's wearing no shoes, kicks it, breaks his foot. So, Blue, how'd you break your foot? Well, I was walking through the woods and I saw a bear stuck in a trap. And unfortunately, the bear's trap snapped shut on my foot. You were playing soccer, weren't you? Yeah.
Yep.
I was playing Kinect again. Oh, it hurts.
Yeah.
Just like the old commercials with the dude throwing the controller through the TV.
Yes.
I mean, How much I would feel bad for, like, the nurse or the doctor who would have to write that report. Oh, yeah, why did he come in? Apparently, he was playing a video game. It was called Kinect, and he broke his ass and foot at the same time while trying to do a maneuver.
That kid needs a life.
Sucks to be this kid. Fuck him and fuck my life. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, for the most part, FIFA, I can only give it a respectable 1.
I agree.
1 out of 5.
Because it looks good, it plays horribly.
It probably looked fantastic on paper, but after that, it's just crap.
Yep.
Now, Anvil, you got to go and check this one out.
Major League Baseball 2K12.
Was it baseball?
Because I don't trust it anymore.
It's wiffle ball.
Oh, God. It's backyard baseball again. Damn it!
It's stupid. One of those parodies. You're, like, hitting grenades at people or something,
but
which would be awesome.
Well, it's like bobblehead baseball.
Oh, God.
I knew that was going to make you puke.
Oh, that was just bad. Bobblehead baseball.
Probably the worst game ever.
I hope whoever thought that was a good idea was fired from Konami.
So, Anvil, what did you feel about this?
It actually wasn't bad. They did a lot better with, you know, the graphics, things like that. And I felt it was a little bit easier to hit.
Mm-hmm.
The fielding was fun. Because, like, alright, I did have some trouble making contact properly, not going to lie. But I did hit a home run.
Yes.
With Mike Napoli that just cleared the wall. Because you play the two World Series teams. But at one point, like, what should have been a hit that scored the tying run, out of nowhere, I, like, randomly hit buttons, and my guy dove out and caught it. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay, I did it.
So the control scheme is a lot better. So they finally listen to the people.
How is the pitching?
It actually kind of works, because what you do is you select your play, and you hold it back, and you hold it until the rings connect.
Oh, that one. Oh, man.
But you can, you know, like, as long as it's within the ring, you still can throw pretty well. You can overthrow it. But it wasn't too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering with the whole setup that they're doing right now is like, when this game comes out, I know that there's a... I'm not sure if it's this one or if it's the other Major League one. Whoever throws a perfect game gets $1 million. It's this one.
Yes.
So it's... I bet this
it's is
gonna
impossible.
I think it's going to be impossible.
I played 3 innings and allowed 2 hits.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just learning how to do it, but it's still kind of cool, though. At the very end, I did turn a double play. Which was amazing. I could have had a second one, but I wasn't paying attention to realize that, you know, I thought I had 2 outs already when I threw it to first.
Yeah. I'm scared to see what MLB The Show brings this year, because I hate that game so much.
Well, it's kind of cool because the motions that they do, when I turned the double play, my third baseman ran, scooped it up, and jumped and threw it sideways. And then I turned and my guy actually dug it out. So I'll take it. It was fun.
Yeah, for once.
I mean, it does require something.
Yeah, I cannot wait to actually maybe rent this title, so long as it doesn't have a stupid online code that you have to type in order to actually play the game, like some of these video games have been doing these past couple of months.
I just recently bought SSX and I had to do that.
Yeah. Why do people keep doing this? I mean, I think...
It's the only way to make money now, because of the fact that the company that we don't want to really name, GameStop, for the most part, or other places like pawn shops and stuff like that, where you could take a video game that you bought and bring it in, get either money for it, or transfer to a different game and stuff like that, the companies are losing money.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go and switch in a new game that you did, you use the codes, you use all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And then somebody else buys that game, they're not going to be able to use your codes because you already got it on your Xbox.
Yeah.
So next to that, it just means that they've got to have a setup on their thing where it says, like when I had mine on there, it says, here, redeem your code or buy one. And it's like, if you buy one, it's like somewhere between 8 and 12.
Makes up for the pre-sale that the company would have missed out on.
Right.
Yeah. No, I wholeheartedly agree that that's not that bad of a... practice.
It's not that bad, but it can be annoying. I mean,
so long as it doesn't get to the point where you can't buy old, or would just refuse
buy
to
buy the content. Yeah,
like how, like if you like renting video games, like that can be troublesome. Unless these companies make special discs where you don't have to worry about that if you rent through a
like
GameFly.
I did the review for Driver San Francisco, which is up on the website, so you can go and check that out. B3crew.com. Bingo. No, I'm just kidding.
There's the plug.
The plug.
You don't know about it. You're listening to this, but yet somehow you avoided that.
But for the most part, it was a setup, and with the game, you could play the game straight all out because we had the GameFly setup. But when you're trying to, if you wanted to do an online play, you had to buy the code and stuff like that. I mean, right now I'm waiting for the price to come down just a tad bit more. You know, right now it's like still like 40 to 35 bucks or something like that, around that price range for the game. So I'm kind of waiting for it to drop down just a little bit more, and then I'll buy it new if I can get it for Driver San Francisco, just so I can get the multiplayer aspect, you know, taken care of. But hopefully by that time there's still people playing.
There should be. I mean, it's going to be another couple of years before the next Driver comes out.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things where it does kind of get annoying, where it's like, you really just got to buy the game new, otherwise you might spend more money just getting the online access if you needed that.
Right.
And I'm just wondering if that's going to be going towards the Call of Duty and Battlefield and stuff like that, if they end up doing that in the next game or two.
They're already pushing some bad habits with this new Mass Effect. They're getting one of the main characters. I won't throw it out there, but in the background lore, they're selling them as first day DLC.
Yeah.
So unless you got the like $80 collector's edition, he's not going to be there, and it's kind of making me not want to buy Mass Effect until it goes down in price. But they did good with with all the other stuff. With if you get it used, you don't get a key. that like unlock certain content, but once they say, okay, now that's multiplayer and we're selling this extra first day DLC, that's when they're starting to push it.
Yeah.
But okay, let's put it this way. When Gears of War 3 came out and then they had a whole another, you know, disc that you could buy or, you know, actually like a code or something like that.
Yeah.
That would give you the updated all the updated maps and everything that was coming within the next couple weeks. I mean, that was Call of Duty Elite. I signed up with it, signed up for it, and I didn't even know I was spending $50 for it. I was just like, what the hell?
Oh, you got Call of Duty Elite?
Yeah, I got Call of Duty Elite, and I haven't played it yet, but yeah, I get all the new maps for, like, whatever. I don't,
you get...
It automatically updates whenever I pop in Call of Duty.
You see, I'm against video game companies that release a title, and then it's basically still incomplete, and then will release, like, future DLC stuff that supposedly... completes a game, kind of like what's been going on with Saints Row the Third.
Yeah. First day DLC, they'll like do 90% of the game, and then they'll cut something from the game, release it, and then sell that last bit to you. Oh, yeah, yes. I don't think anybody's for that, and it's going to be one of those things that if fans don't get together and start banning and not spend money, companies are just going to keep on doing.
Yeah,
which is what's going to keep happening.
It's going to keep happening because nobody wants to. It's too much of an effort to get, you know, and force people to go and say, "Don't buy this game," because if you buy this game, they're going to keep doing this stuff to it. But people are so dronish that, you know, they'll buy the game anyways.
We're also a generation of procrastinators.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to buy this game.
And then
they're standing in line at GameStop the night of the game release. Yeah, you know, brilliant.
Yeah. Because I was originally not going to buy Modern Warfare 3, but then he's like, you know what? Fine, I'll buy it. And
have you beat that yet?
Almost.
Really? Yes. That's one sit down for me. That's like three hours.
That's 3 to 5 hours set up for me just to sit down and play the game. I mean, it depending on what level I'm playing at.
You're getting it for the multiplayer though. Yeah. That's they should just stop putting single player on a lot of those and just do multiplayer if they're
I'm gonna touch on this Xbox Live trial thing.
Alright.
But going back to Major League Baseball 2K12.
Wow, there we go.
I've got to give the demo for that a 4 out of 5. I was very impressed with it. And I feel like 2K Games is finally doing baseball right.
And it was a good demo, too. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's big. Usually demos are really small and don't show you much of the game whatsoever.
Well, what did they give you? 3 innings?
3 innings.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty fair.
I mean,
did you get a choice of teams, or was it just...
It was just the two World Series teams.
But you got to see everything, at least, that the game was involved in.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good. Pitched, that's good.
And, you know, like I said, I got a chance to turn a double play. I had a throw from the outfield. I made a diving catch. I hit a home run. I hit it up the center. You know, I got to see different things.
Someone caught a fly ball from a foul area.
Yeah, I got a pop-up that just missed floating out of bounds. The guy caught it. I'm like, you're a son of a...
All right, so what did you feel about the rating on that one? Out of 5.
I'll give it a 4.3.
Interesting.
Good.
All right, well, I guess this is actually... I might go and try it when I get a chance to, when I'm at home.
You're not allowed to.
Oh, I know.
So, Tag.
Yep.
Tag.
Taginator.
You've been playing Kingdoms of Amalur.
Amalur, yep.
Reckoning. It's created by our good buddy Kurt Schilling, who used to pitch for the Red Sox.
When did you become buddies with him?
I'm just saying buddy as
when
a
I,
fan base.
When buddy. I walked past him at PAX East in 2010.
Yes.
Twice.
Oh, I would have loved to. I wish he was at Boston Postmortem meetings. I've met some of his staff.
I've actually met him.
I've met his staff. I've met the people who developed the game.
He threw me a baseball.
Now what?
I dropped it and didn't realize it.
Now, this game also has a code you have to put in order to play the game.
Does it?
Yeah, the CD keys and stuff. I played it for the PC, so that's par for the course for us. There are the things, and this, I believe, ties back to the Dragon Age. Is it Dragon Age armor? They have some type of armor for having a previous game, and I'm going through, and I've heard reviewers say this, and I 100% agree. Don't pick up the armor. You're playing an RPG for a game like this. You're not going to replace that armor for 2 hours. So if you like upgrading your stats slowly through the levels, and you like a challenge, I just ignored the... I pick up the bucket, it gave me a quest complete, and I threw away all the armor. What do I think of this game when it comes down to it? This game was originally, you can see it, supposed to be in a MMO, and he toned it down, Kurt Schilling, because, well, if you look at the MMOs, God forbid anybody beat WoW.
it does look like WoW.
And then you got Star Wars Galaxies, and it's a pretty oversaturated market at this point.
Yep.
But when you sit down and you play it, it is real fun if you like God of War. And it's, I'm not going to say that the combat's RPG-esque. You select somebody and just hit attack. It's 100%. If you are not sitting there slashing somebody the sword, it's not going to say miss. If you're aimed off, you're not going to hit the person. Magic, you don't click on a guy, hit attack, and watch some magical shot curve.
It's not stupid turn-based.
Yeah, it is. You aim your magic spell, and if you miss, tough crap. And you aren't going to hit somebody, and a little thing is going to pop up and say miss. So it's great. It's visceral. It's God of War with a leveling system and stats on it. Hello. All right, interesting picture. I'm being distracted a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, not like that's hard for you.
Yeah, you could roll the red ball across this table, and I would. So, I mean, plot-wise, kind of generic.
I hear the voice acting is kind of eh.
Yeah, there are some really good things and some really downsides for a game like this.
I'm hearing there's over 150 hours of gameplay in this.
Yeah, I got about way less than that.
Well, main story I hear is like 30 to 45 hours, and then the side quests are 150.
You got your normal characters for every generic game. You got your rogue, you have a warrior class and a mage class. You, unlike the original Diablo and Diablo 2, you can choose what skill trees you want to go. You start off as pretty much everything, and there's a skill tree for the rogue, a skill tree for the mage and warrior, and you can just put points into it whatever way you want. If you want to spread them out and between all trees, nobody's going to make fun of you. There's actually specializations for that. So make whatever character you feel like whatsoever. The downsides of this game, inventory system is a menu within a menu with some options. There is no push backpack, select items. You have to hit escape for the computers, probably start for the console, I'm guessing. Yeah. Then go into a menu, and then into your backpack, so there's layers upon layers. The only good redeeming quality about this is there's a junk tab, which anything you don't want, you can just drop into the junk. You can sell it. You can take the things apart. So the menu system isn't great, but every game should have that junk tab.
Ansel is trying to distract Tag with boobies.
Yes, he's trying to show me pictures of women in scantily clad clothing.
Female fighters from
So
we're gonna be watching them in fights.
Kingdom of Amalur. If you like RPG, you want an RPG mixed with God of War, I'd go for it.
How would you compare it? I know millions of people have already asked this question, but for you personally, how do you compare it to Skyrim?
Oh, it's nothing like Skyrim. You play Skyrim less for the combat and more for the exploration. It's the pure fact with Skyrim that they say, here you go, here's 4 square miles in all directions. There's a bunch of dungeons, have fun. This game is more linear, more story-driven. Whereas in Skyrim, if I go, I save a town and they call me the savior of the world. I go to the next town, they don't know me. Some guy asked me to go collect 4 chicken eggs for him. He doesn't care. So it would be like comparing the Mass Effect games or Dragon Age to Skyrim. It's a different category whatsoever.
Different horses, different colors.
Or even Two Worlds 2.
I heard about that game, and I avoided it because of something.
Actually, Two Worlds 2 isn't bad. I gave it a 7.5 out of 10. I heard the PC version isn't that good. I have it for Xbox 360.
Yeah, because I think they went console to PC, though.
I dropped my Xbox 360 on the ground yesterday by accident, so it shows how much I play console.
Oh.
I still get a
7.5. Can I take it? No, I'm kidding.
So, do you want me to talk about that other game?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think this other game is going to be too interesting.
No.
Yeah. Vessel?
No. The other one we got on our list here.
Yes. All right.
So I'll do a quick little thing.
Because I'm really into puzzle games. Like, Trine 2 was, like, really cool with the whole puzzle aspect. So how does Vessel work?
Vessel is... Well, it has a Braid feel to it when you're looking at the art aesthetics. It's a little bit more cartoony. It's your typical platform puzzle game. Their twist they put on it, it's fluid dynamics for this. You actually can reroute water flows. You can adjust the way water works in general. Some great physics for water. And there's this weird mechanic where as you can make these creatures out of water...
You carry around little eyeball things or something like that, and you just drop them near where water is coming out.
Well, you make them from a machine. You can eventually create the little eyeball things as your inventory. I have a water gun now, which is interesting, too.
Yep.
They love to step on buttons... And they'll run through triggers and the like, so that's how all the puzzles are set up.
Anything that has lights on it that they don't want because it's too bright.
They don't like lights. They step on buttons to shut off lights. So the puzzles are really well constructed in this. The visuals are amazing. The guy is a little bit derpy. He'll swing his arm. They did that, what's that, motocross, the game? They had
T-Games.
They had the Flash game. With
Flash
the guy
game, the motocross,
The guy on the bicycle kind of has ragdoll physics.
Yeah, the ragdoll physics. Even though he's riding on the motorcycle, he's like...
He's wiggling his arms.
And then whenever he falls off, all you see is his arms just go limp and... You know, his arm is bending back the wrong way. It's not supposed to. It's all messed up.
So the animations for it are a little subpar, but if you want an indie game, it's $13 now. It will be $15, I think, in a week or so. And if you want to support some game devs, these are ex-EA guys. So they left EA and went off and made their own. So
yes.
I'm not a big fan of EA. Good luck for those guys, and good game. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, let me just quickly put this game down, put it to pasture.
Oh, we're ending on a downer in the game section.
Nexus. It's a first-person online shooter. It's just online. There's no offline modes, no challenges.
Nobody's seen an FPS coming.
It originally came out as a free PC game that used a Quake mod.
Mm-hmm.
And the storyline premise is basically, in the future, wars will be televised as sport. And that's about it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I gotta say, this is another situation of, this is how you do first-person shooter online matches the wrong way. Question,
boy. Okay, so is this like the movie Gamer? So it's almost kind of like, it's not like somebody controlling them, but it's basically they're fighting each other just to get... Sport on TV? What the hell?
Are there capture the flag things in different classes? Is this another
team? No, I don't think so. I think it's like a personal team deathmatch. You're dead.
I mean,
that's the whole thing with the new Quake game, like the newer Quake game and stuff like that. That was basically one big team deathmatch.
And that's all this is.
Look, why don't we just put it down and give it, a grade and put 2 in the back of its head.
Fine.
I'll download it anyways because I hate my life.
Oh, I'll give this another 1 out of 5. I got bored of it within minutes. And, okay, Nexus, just look the other way. Think of cute, happy bunnies.
Okay.
Did I pick it up?
No. I might have.
There you go.
There we go.
The graphics look nice, but I'm guessing those are definitely not in-game.
Those are just like...
Yeah,
that's the other thing that I hate.
Pre-rendered.
I just
the
hate
sci-fi look is just overdone. I'm sorry.
That's pre-rendered.
I just hate the concept of when they're doing the selling of it, and when they put up the screenshots and whatnot, they clean it all up. They Photoshop the living crap out. I mean, let's put it this way. When I played Driver San Francisco, the graphics are amazing. In-game, amazing. Even the screenshots, they look real. That one I could give it to, but I have played games where they've given, like, these ultimate screenshots, but when you play the game, it's all crap.
Yeah, it's typical when you go in to buy a game, if you do not see in-game footage, they're hiding something almost all the time. And I mean, even the games that don't look that good, usually gameplay will redeem it. Like, you know, people don't play Minecraft because it looks amazing.
I can't remember what video it was, but I remember there was one that I was watching that said not in-game footage. And I went, what?
Every single one out there.
I think it was for the Aliens Colonial Marines
game. Yeah, that one. It was like not in-game footage. I was like, why are you showing this then?
Yeah, show your gameplay. Stand up on your gameplay. Don't stand up on your graphics if you're not focusing on that.
Yes, agreed.
All right.
So, movies. Let's talk movies. So, we decided not to go see Project X.
Yeah, we're boycotting that movie. Screw that movie.
Along with The Lorax. It has like 10 times more commercials than it should. Yeah.
Well, I'm actually seeing The Lorax later on in the week, but I promise
you
I won't.
Poor bastard.
Every time, things that don't even have to do with that movie, I'll be like, I wonder what's happening at this party on Facebook, and I have a Lorax ad over the top.
I think the only thing I can agree with the Lorax thing is the starting of, like, the AMC movies where it says, sit down and shut up and watch the movie, basically.
But he's there, he's on, like, car commercials. I saw him like a Mazda.
He's on like McDonald's now, I think, and they've got like, it's like, here you go, here's some seeds and plant a tree. So these kids are going to be running around trying to
plant trees. Dr. Seuss movie, McNuggets. Dr. Seuss movie, Mazda. What's the tie-in? Oh yeah, you have money.
Do you think Dr. Seuss, if he was alive right now, would actually approve this?
No. Not the... No. The movie, yes, but not these commercials.
Dr. Seuss movie, nursing home.
And same goes with Project X. Buy a car! Watch your neighbors trash their house during a college party. High school party.
Yeah. Buy an ice sculpture. Look at the kid throwing the flamethrower.
The only redeeming factor I see from that movie's previews is Jimmy Kimmel is in it, which I give him props for most things because he's pretty dang funny.
Okay, it took him a while for him to be funny on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Because I felt like he lost some of it when he left the Man Show, but now he's regained it.
I think he should bring back Adam.
He was always interviewing people from Lost, so he gets my respect nerd-wise from that. So. But he always wanted to be Conan O'Brien, and he eventually found his own little niche.
I never saw Lost.
I feel bad for you.
Just watch all of it except the last 15 minutes of it.
It's okay. J.J. Abrams made something even more epic called Fringe. You should watch that.
And the Star Trek movie.
Oh, yeah. This is another one coming out, too.
Yeah, Alcatraz.
Oh, yes. I heard great things about that show.
I love that show.
Great. Yeah, I mean, the show's great. It's got a couple of the people from Lost, but, you know.
I know.
Early!
I know we're doing movies after this, or at least going to start watching more. We should definitely do Fringe after that. I've, like, forced my cousin here to watch that. Well, you don't know Lost, so I can't say. Do you know The X-Files?
Yes.
Meets an amazing plot like Lost. Everything is really in-depth, and I literally, if I talk that much about it, it'll ruin it.
Yes. Yeah.
Every episode ties in every episode. There are a lot of fillers at the beginning that are coming back.
You had me started watching that for a little bit, and then we dropped off or something.
It sounds like it sucks.
We did something else.
You know what? You know what show I've been watching a lot lately is Grimm.
Grim.
That's the one where it's like the Grim fairy tales, but it's modern day.
Oh, I'm hearing a lot, and I know everybody is going to kill me for not watching it, is Breaking Bad, and I want to see that.
Yeah, I want to see the next Breaking Bad. Oh my god!
Really?
Dude.
And the zombie one.
Bah, Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
I think we got to take Anvil and strap him to the seat for a little bit and have him watch like the whole Breaking Bad, you know, at least I think it goes up to season 3, I think, on Netflix.
Yes.
Period.
Oh, I haven't seen
he doesn't
it yet,
like,
but...
He doesn't like Bryan Cranston.
How do you not like Bryan Cranston?
Wait, who said I didn't like Bryan Cranston?
You told me earlier you didn't like Bryan Cranston.
When did this come up earlier?
What's the guy from Real Steel? What's that guy's name?
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. Isn't Dr. Cox against him? That's why I don't know if I like that movie. He hates Hugh Jackman. So I have to. I mean, come on, he didn't use, like, the beer embassy or what?
And back to Bryan Cranston, I liked him Malcolm in the Middle, okay?
All right.
Walk around being big and hairy and scratch his back.
So before we get back to Real Steel, Anvil has to watch a lot of TV in the upcoming days.
Can I put in a request for a treadmill or an exercise bike in front of that TV so I can work
There's
out?
There's that Wii exercise bike we can put him on.
He'd break that in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You're not. Okay, let's put it this way. The size of that friggin' thing, It's minuscule.
It's like, IKEA.
Like, okay.
It's IKEA.
Yeah, it's IKEA, basically. Okay, let's put it this way. Back in the day when, like, they created the old, you know, bikes, you know, that you'd be able to... They were small. They were structurally sound for anybody at least under 500 pounds could sit on that thing and it wouldn't break.
Yes.
Nowadays, they just create these plastic... the plastic platform on it, and it, I'm telling you, I'd be afraid to sit on the friggin' thing.
Weight limit of 160 pounds. We made it out of plastic toothpicks.
Shrapnel.
We're the Wii.
But it's just, because this one is one that you could sit there and you pedal and you could play Mario Kart with it, so while you're pedaling, the cart is going or something like that.
TV is going down tonight along with movies.
Yeah.
Let's move with
and female MMA.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I got my podcast I gotta watch too.
That'd All right, so let's move on to Real Steel because this is a movie that we weren't able to see last year because there was a lot of other shit that was out there.
And for me, Hugh Jackman.
I was working at a job that was killing me.
And my soul was being eaten.
Yes, by a woman.
And Hugh Jackman.
Yes, and Hugh Jackman, okay?
God dang you, Jackman.
Star Real Steel and one-man show on Broadway.
So this is robots fighting.
It's Rock'em Sock'em Robots the movie, but it's got heart.
This is robots fighting, so I figure it has the nerd factor along with Anvil's sports with boxing and the like. This must have been weird for everybody to sit down, look at something, and not feel ashamed at the other one for watching it.
Like, you sit down in the movie theater and there's a kid with big old thick glasses and a pocket protector and, you know, I'm sitting there with my baggy jeans, my hoodie, and my, you know, ball cap. Just look at him. What are you doing?
Boxing gloves.
I'm here to learn about robots, huh? I'm here to watch some robots kick ass.
The guy walking in with the sports jersey next to the kid holding the plastic lightsaber. What?
Daddy, did
that
you
was
know?
2 weeks ago.
Oh, God.
Daddy, did you know that to power the arms and legs, they need hydraulic lifts? They crush! Hydraulic lifts!
Crush!
Hydraulic lift!
That's it, we're bringing in the Monster Jam next time it comes around.
With Grave Digger!
Yes, Daddy, thank you! Then I can tell you about the aerodynamics of the trucks and how the engines are built!
And the physics, when it goes up in the air and it lands on its shock system.
Alright, son, I'm taking the shooting range. What are you going to teach me?
Nothing. I'm just going to have you stand in front of the target. No, but
I've always wanted a daughter anyway.
If they gave these robots a gun, everybody would be screaming Transformers ripoff.
Skynet!
Well, not exactly, because the size of them is not like exactly like to the size of Transformers, but at least it's like they're probably 12
to
15 feet.
There were Transformers of all shapes and sizes. I don't know what you're talking about, buddy.
He's right!
No, but they seem to make these robots actually as big and as badass as they were kind of sensitive. Like, they were very easy to break. Like, okay, I don't understand.
Because they made them indestructible, it would have been kind of cheating.
Oh, no, not that. But, I mean, they should have had, like, somewhere. Okay, you put up a robot that is probably about 15 feet tall against a bull. Okay, a 600 to 700 pound bull.
No, it was a 2,000 pound
bull. Okay, I'm sorry, 2,000 pound bull.
Remember those arguments? Like, hey, you said it was going to be an 800 pound, but that's a 2,000 pound one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways.
That's a lot of beef.
That is a lot of beef. But, I mean, for the most part, it's, you know, it was kind of interesting because as soon as he was looking at all the hot women in the crowd and stuff like that, that's when he got effed in the A. But I mean, for the most part, the fighting on it was not too bad. But when it was outside of like any legal realm, like when they were doing zoo fights and stuff like that, they were throwing kicks and stuff like. So it was actually mixed martial arts with the robots until they were actually in an actual organized setup where it was supposed to be straight out stand up boxing, not you know actual kicks and punches thrown. But I mean, I think they should have actually have gone with more of a MMA kind of aspect of it because you could have had the robots doing you know high flying kicking moves or some shit like that.
Well, I mean, you did get the Superman punch.
Well, yeah, you did get the Superman punch, but that was because of the fact that there's this whole shadow program that you could use with the robot that would mimic the person you are. So because you know Hugh Jackman was a boxer and stuff like that, he was able to manipulate the robot a little bit faster and stuff like that than the actual robot that he was against.
Yeah,
because the robot that he was against was this massive like
indestructible beast.
Indestructible.
That's what I said.
You said un.
I don't give a fuck. You really think I care? That's my vernacular.
Grammar Nazi in the house.
And
yo, I found your girl. She's chilling up on a meteor.
Meat eater?
Aww.
Black Hitler.
And the crowd goes silent.
Hey, he showed a video so of Black Hitler was the girl for Precious.
So I did a little bit of research.
Ignore it now.
Okay, research.
I did a little bit of research. The person who did the theme song for Midas, that robot,
yeah,
Tom Morello.
No kidding.
Well,
I wonder why. Zeus. Well, no, there's Zeus. There's
no, Tom. The song was called the Midas Touch.
Okay, because Midas was the one that he fought, and you know when he had that cool.
He had the Noisy Boy.
Yeah, Noisy Boy.
Yes.
What? That's a weird name.
Noisy.
Well, but the only thing is that like the robot set up on it. I guess it was originally American, and then somehow ended up in a Japanese. Like it looked like it had a shogun, you know, armament on it. Like,
I was wondering when they bring the Japanese fighting robots, and you got to appeal to all crowds. Yeah,
but this is the thing. But that was the thing. Like he said, he's like, oh yeah, I just bought you know Noisy Boy. And that's the thing. He bought it from somebody from Brazil. So it wasn't, it was like, it was over in Japan, and then it was, you know, it was all over the world because there was, like, the box of Cayman had stickers from all over the world.
It was like, after, you know, passed through America and, you know, kind of failed here, traveled the world. So he's like, it's been to London and France and Germany and Japan and Brazil and Mexico and Taco Bell. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I Taco Bell and then just because I can.
No, yes. I also found that they are working on a sequel to this movie.
Oh God!
Wow. No. How do you make a sequel?
Well, I mean, the boy and the robot. The robot.
They made a sequel to Rocky 2 and Rocky 3 and Rocky 4.
They ended this as best as you can.
Featuring the Rock. Okay. No, he didn't. Well, he didn't want to spoil.
Okay, let's put it this way. This, the robot, the main one, was it Zeus, correct?
Don't spoil.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the main bad guy one, yeah.
Yeah, the main bad guy one. That was the undefeated robot and stuff like that. That would knock everybody, all the robots out in the first or second round.
Yep.
Nothing would actually even make it to the second round. And the boy's robot was able to make it to the second round, and somebody lost a lot of money.
And the kneecaps.
And then it came to a decision in the fifth. And
we're not spoiling
most people have already seen this.
All right, yeah.
So, you know, Zeus won, but it was close.
It was a close thing, but yet they considered the kid and the robot the people's champion. You know, so it's one of those things where, you know, yes, he lost, but
he still
won. And this was in a league where they just stepped into the league one fight.
And then they challenged.
And as soon as they were done, they challenged the heavyweight champion. Because of the fact that they felt that that robot, you know, was actually superb, even though it was supposed to be a sparring bot. And before that fight happened, they were offered like $200,000, even though I thought it was $250,000, but $200,000 for the robot, just so that, you know, Zeus could use it as a sparring bot, basically.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I mean, the graphics on the robots and how
they were fantastic.
They did pretty good. I mean, they looked like the robots were actually in the room with the people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could tell that there was a little bit of something that, you know, that
CGI,
but yet it was very interesting how they made it.
I think it was like the most realistic robots.
Yeah.
We've seen in a long time.
Alright.
What do you mean they weren't real?
I mean, it's not like they did.
They were real.
It's not like the X-Men.
They were real.
The X-Men Wolverine movie that they made where it was
his claws are shifting.
His claws look like crap, and
it looks like his claws are vibrating across his hands.
Actually, back to Hugh Jackman for a moment. I still don't understand the fact that there's going to be a new Wolverine movie and something about him in Japan.
It goes with the original comic.
It's kind of weird for me to say that. I mean, I know I'm not that much of a comic book reader, but...
Yeah, it goes with the origin comic.
Yeah, but for the most part, it's kind of interesting that they would be going that way. But back to the real steel, this was actually a damn good movie, and I really didn't get to see it in theaters when it was there.
And beautiful IMAX.
Yeah.
I'm not...
Some of the parts of the story I felt like they could have done away with. You know, like... Driving around and shit. There was a little bit too much of like watching them drive around, which
maybe it was more of a male bonding type of thing.
Yeah, well, okay. To give that part away, the it's like
spoiler alerts.
Yeah, spoiler alert. The part with the Hugh Jackman, I guess his ex girlfriend or something like that, they didn't really explain that too much.
They just dated.
They dated or something like that, and I guess they had a kid.
And it's Kate from Lost. Another reason to watch.
No. Kate from Lost was actually his new girlfriend.
Oh, Kate from Lost.
Actually, it was his trainer's daughter. But they have like an interesting.
But he still he never mind.
Hey, he kissed her. He can get it in.
Yes, he did.
That we know of. Did we watch him get it in?
I'm not going to say if I saw anything or not, but I think I saw something. But for the most part...
that was a hard nipple, not him getting it in.
Anyways, the whole setup with the... what caused them to become together was that the mother died of a kid. And they were... You know, Hugh Jackman was kind of a prick. He was trying to, he was in a rough spot in the first place because he lost a lot of times. And he was owing... He owed people, like, what...
This is why you watch $20,000.
Something to $20,000 to $30,000dollars and stuff like that to the hustlers and whatnot.
Yes, or they'll break his kneecaps.
Here, you can see Kate from Lost on a beach.
Yep, she's hot. But for the most part, it was one of those things where he was going to sign his kid over to, I guess, the state and stuff like that. But yet,
the aunt
wanted the kid. And he noticed that the husband of the aunt was, like, really rich. And he just, like, I want, like, $100,000 just so we could sign the kid over to you. It was really... It's really effed up.
Looking at all the pictures. I'm sorry. I just searched Kate from Lost and...
Naked.
I didn't. But sure. I got a bunch of Lost pictures. Yeah, okay. And not only do I love the show, but I love her. And she did good shampoo commercials.
All right, I think we could probably rate this bitch by now. But
yes.
With Real Steel, I definitely want to give it a 4.8 out of 5 in the movie aspect. It was really that good.
I'll give it a 4.5 out of 5, and Anvil apparently gives it a fart.
Yeah, he just broke the chair over there again. How many times you got to fix that fucking thing?
Shut up! We'll give it a 4.8, bitches.
Okay.
And fart.
Oh, really? Did the mic pick it up?
Yeah. Yes, it did. It was my sneak.
In a subsonic area, so you just got to turn the friggin' volume.
So you want to talk about the other movie?
Adam Sandler is Jack.
All right, cut it.
Cut it off, you piece of shit. All right. So I watched Jack and Jill yesterday out of pure boredom.
You poor, poor man.
Actually, it wasn't that bad.
You poor, poor man.
Like, some of it you were like, this is retarded. And it's still kind of hard to get used to Adam Sandler in a dress.
You didn't find him attractive, did you?
No.
Okay, good. Otherwise, your veteran status would be null and void and you'd be back to whore.
No, because there's some like hilarious parts. Like, he goes and wakes her up. And she comes out of the bed, he's like, you can take your sweat shadow. And you look at the bed, and the perfect outline of her body in sweat.
Ugh.
Wait, no, because it comes back later on, funnier. So let me just go through this.
Now, for one, it's really, really creepy because it's Adam Sandler in a dress. And she's overly attached to her brother, who is a twin.
Yes.
Which is really creepy because she wants to cuddle and shit. But they actually opened it with real twins talking and ended it with real twins, which was kind of cool. But basically, he lives in California now, and he's a big ad guy. She lives in the Bronx, and Mama's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Troll.
Like, she just died. She comes over for Thanksgiving and winds up staying past New Year's. Well, 2 years.
2 years?
Till New Year's.
Oh.
Where'd you get 2 years from New Year's?
You said New Year's.
I thought I heard 2 years, but whatever.
So, isn't that a band? Oh, that's so, 10 years.
It's basically that whole story of how it was going. She tries an online dating website. Fail!
Epic fail!
And it was, what's his name? The actor. Crap. I forget who played the actor.
Why didn't you IMDb that
day? I am, bitch.
IMDb.com!
Oh, wait. Am I supposed to be like IDBing thing? I'm too busy looking at Kate and Facebook. Still.
Was it Nick Swartzen? Dana
Carvey. Dana Carvey.
David Spade.
Wait, Dana Carvey. No, those guys came at the end. David Spade in a dress was absolutely hilarious. All right,
I can stop looking at that.
Because I couldn't stop laughing at that one.
Oh, that was kind of like back to the Saturday Night Live days of him and Chris Farley and,
good cast.
You know.
Although the best thing out of the new one and really the only good thing is the Lonely Island band. Yeah. So.
But,
if you haven't heard Lonely Island, listen to them.
What's it called? A really cool part was how, like, Johnny Depp popped in it, but Al Pacino.
JD.
How did they get Johnny Depp in this movie?
Basically, his job was to sit there sidelines at a Lakers game. Next to Al Pacino. They had Drew Carey in it.
Drew Carey's awesome.
Yeah. John McEnroe's in it.
Yeah, McEnroe comes into this whole thing with this atheist that's kind of anti-Semitic at the same time. But he's in a lot of the movies lately. So it was kind of cool. Because he's sitting there and he's like, I forget what he said exactly. The person's like, Adam's like, you can't say that, you know, that's anti-Semitic. He's like, it's okay, I'm close to being a Jew. Well, what do you mean? I'm an atheist.
Ooh.
It's like, wow.
That was bad.
Like, dude, did you really just go there?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Shaq did a commercial in it, which was kind of hilarious.
And Regis Philbin was in it.
Yes, he was at the very beginning. Oh, Norm MacDonald.
Oh.
He Norm played McDonald's. The dude that's on. Right? So he tells...
He plays a character named Fun Bucket.
That's the online name that he has. And the date goes awkwardly. He's like, I have to go to the bathroom. She goes in to find him because it's been forever, and he's hanging from the ceiling, hiding. She's like... Maybe he went outside for some air. Goes outside and she comes home all upset. And she's like, oh, he's going to love me. And goes running up the stairs. But then the gardener takes a liking to her.
Oh, no.
And
who's the gardener?
Let
me guess, Rob Schneider.
No.
That's all they do is bring people from SNL
his name's back. Felipe. He plays Felipe, who's in Gino Derbez.
Who?
I don't know.
Gino Derbez.
But, like, you know, he brings her to a picnic, and, like, the whole family's there, including Grandma, who he plays as well, who's this creepy-looking lady with one tooth. And as the day goes on, like, he likes to, you know, make people laugh. So he's like, oh, this is my family. This is my father, Juan. My brother, Juan. My other brother, Juan. This is Juan Jr. This is Juanita. This is Grandma Juanita. No, I'm just kidding. There's not that many Juans. And it's, you know, he can't stop laughing, but as the day goes on, like, the whole messing with Grandma thing was hilarious, because Grandma didn't like her. So, like, out came the piñata, and I'm sending the swings to hit the piñata, and they lift it up and catch his Grandma square in the face.
Oh,
and they run over, jalapenos, and she gets up, and then a shoe comes off and hits Grandma in the face and knocks her out, jalapenos. It's hilarious. So at the end, he's trying to, like, sweet talk her. And she's like, you hear the belly grumbling? He's like, oh, what's that? And she's like, oh, I think your car's making noise and shit. I gotta go. I've never had Mexican. So she's up in the bathroom, like, you know, and they actually make it fully disgusting noise way. Like, you know, all the graphics you would use. And Adam Sandler's like, yo, is Evel Knievel in there doing wheelies? She opens the door so we can talk. He opens one door to the porch for air. Shut up, we're past that now. So then he opens another door and he's like waving it. And he lights a candle and holds it in front of his face. It's like, and when she agrees to go on vacation, all the kids are jumping around. Yeah!
So what made her sit on a mule or a donkey or a pony? Yeah, a pony.
Oh, okay. So there's a bunch of things she wanted to do before she went home, and riding on a pony was one of them. So the guy tells her, oh, no, you don't make weight. I make weight! And she's all upset that they let her ride, and she hops on, and she's like, yay! All of a sudden, the pony is, no, it doesn't fart! It doesn't split! And she says, maybe I am too heavy. Starts crying. She has a bird. Now, it's kind of creepy, because she's on the date, like, with the Mexican dude, you know, his family. Now Pacino shows up because he's in love with her, which is even creepier, because they do some really funny things. Well, it goes up and there's a sweat shadow laying in the bed and the sweat shadow of her bird. And Al Pacino lays on top of it. I'm like, oh!
That's wrong.
You guys have to watch this movie. It's stupid funny. I mean, oh, and then there's this one part where Adam Sandler plays a girl. Or plays his sister for Al Pacino to try to get him to do a Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Oh.
So his sister's off with, you know, his wife who's Katie Holmes. Now this part makes me laugh. Because Adam Sandler's playing a woman. He's in the bathroom. He comes up dressed like a woman. And there's this little Italian dude in the bathroom, you know, that works there. And he fixed the boobs, like the fake ones. He's like, So Adam Sandler goes. The sister finds out what he's doing. Gets all set to leave. But she's sitting there crying. And the same Italian dude standing outside the bathroom. Because, you know, he works there. And he does the same thing to the sister. And the sister punches him through it. But when they're in the gym, Katie Holmes is talking to Jill. So, what happens is, there's these two Russian strongmen, right?
I'm being distracted.
And they're sitting there with, like, you know, two plates on the bicep curl bar. And she's like, oh, can I work in? And she sits down and she starts doing the curls really easy. She's like, oh, can you guys add another plate onto that? And the Russian guys are, like, giving a weird look, and she, like, lifts them up, and she's, like, exercising with three plates. They walk away, you see the Russian guys sitting there in these big old bulging muscles. Do it, she can do it, you can do it. He's like, I'm giving it all I can, and he couldn't do it. Oh, it's hilarious. You guys have to watch this movie, it's stupid funny.
Okay.
So, rating is stupid funny.
I'll give it a 3.8.
Okay.
Because I couldn't stop laughing all this. Oh. And Adam Sandler adopted a kid from India when he was a few days old, and he keeps on taping stuff to him. So it starts with a leaf, and then at dinner, he taped a turkey leg to his chest. He's riding his bike, and there's a hamster taped to his back.
Why would the hamster taped to his back?
Because that's where he taped it. And he's just taping random stuff to himself, because he likes tape. And the little girl's creepy, too. But, like, a lot of your old favorites are popping up. And, you know, just sitting there at one of the parties.
Yes.
He was distracting me, so I'm distracting
him. There's, like, Bill Romanowski and stuff like that. I'll show you pictures of the girls for the fights tonight. You're showing me perverted pictures of your you know, girlfriend.
No, that's a perfectly legal street.
I don't think I can play. I hate you all.
Oh, I think we need to end this show quickly.
We haven't done sports yet.
We are actually really out of time.
Well, fuck you. Sports is a weekly thing that we've done on every show.
Not every show.
You've been listening to Adam Sandler.
Alright, quickly.
Go quicker than me.
Oh, you got some real quick jokes to tell.
Alright, so the trade deadline came down. And the Red Sox. What concentration!
I see the panic.
Alright, alright. So the trade deadline came and went. Bruins, they made three acquisitions. They grabbed two defensemen and a forward. giving up two prospects and Stephen Kampfer. So all in all, it was, you know, pretty good. Celtics are a three-game winning streak at this point. They're still holding on to a playoff spot. Red Sox started spring training with today's first game, the morning one, being between the Boston Red Sox and the Northeastern Huskies. The second game will be versus BC, but the first game has ended.
I wonder what the weather's like.
Hope there's no cold front. The second game has just actually ended, and it was a very close game between the Red Sox and Northeastern. Northeastern scored no points in the game. The Red Sox scored 25. Good job, Northeastern. You held them to 25 runs. Along with that, there should be a lot of good changes. I'm really looking forward to it. Last night, there were some UFC fights. Very big controversy in the Demetrius Johnson fight. People felt like it should have went to a draw.
All right, explain a little bit more on that one.
It should have went to a draw.
That, no, what should have went to a draw? I don't understand.
All right, Demetrius Johnson gets the win, but due to a scoring error, it should have actually been a draw. So now they're talking about the judges getting more training. Since I'm, you know, given such a short leash by a duck, I have to make this very quick. Tonight we're going to be watching Strike Force with the main event being a title fight between Misha Tate and Ronda Rousey.
Yep, it's a lady fight.
Now, ooh. Weigh-ins got very, very big with a headbutt between the two.
Are you sure?
And I mean, there should be some really good fights. I know there's a few coming up, and I want to quickly throw them out there. March 17th, me and Blue will be at the Jungleplex in Plymouth for CFX.
Yeah.
March 31st, we'll be in Salem, New Hampshire at the Ice Center for Century Promotions. Main events will be Marcus Davis, former UFC fighter versus former Bellator fighter Matt Sung Lee. Also, on April 13th, the Holiday and Event Center down in Mansfield, Mass, AFO's Night of Champions. So, you know, come on down, join us. You know, it's going to be a great time. If you guys have any questions, feel free to email me at anvil@bostonbassbrigade.com. I'll gladly give you any information.
And we'll be glad to sell you any tickets if you contact us.
Scalp any tickets?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that it? Also support Team Prodalsa Ray March 17th. They have Matt the Mantis Doherty going for an amateur title, and Soap Am is making his amateur debut. Also April 13th, Ricardo Georges.
Rico?
Whoa, I'll go Ricardo.
You're going to go Ricardo?
Ricardo Georges will be fighting at AFO. Should be a great time. So hit him up, you know, for tickets and all that other good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Okay.
Fork, stuck in this.
Remember, visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. You can write to us at thebastards@bostonbassbrigade.com if you want to ask us any questions, you've got any comments, or you want to request things for us to review. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. You can follow Anvil at anvil63. Blonic has finally taken control of that Twitter account, so you can follow him at Twitter at Blonic. I don't know if Tig has got one yet.
To-do list. Yeah. A lot of other stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I'll get around to it, at least by
PAX East.
Yeah, PAX East. There'll be a Twitter up. I'll be throwing some stuff out there. Yeah. Some local events, some things to go to. Yay.
Yeah. Right. We're on Facebook, so all I have to do is type in Boston Bastard Brigade, and you'll get both our magazine and group page.
Yay.
That's all I have to say, bitch.
Fuck you.
All right, so we'll rifle these off. So there's also, okay, so we already hit up TPS.
TPSMMA.com.
Gamer Action. Japan Files.
Game Hounds.
Vagabonds.
Married Gamers.
Issues Program.
Matt the Wad.
Definitely Matt the Wad.
Electric Sisterhood, of course. Geek Aggro.
JC Sargent.
Yep.
The Issues Guy.
I just said that already.
I don't give a shit.
Scrap Soldier.
Scrap Soldier.
Case Titan.
AFO, Century Promotions.
XFC?
CFX. SFC is down south.
All right. What used to be Victory Promotions? No, I'm just kidding.
So we're going to do something very different to end the show. We have in our hands, or metaphorical hands,
Files.
Hard drives. An exclusive.
Terabytes of porn.
I meant to say it like a retard.
Got mail.
An exclusive new track from our friends Mollus, a Japanese rock band that I interviewed a month ago. This is from their brand new album, New Gravity, which is going to be available in America from Good Charmel Records in April. The music video for this song will be premiering on YouTube on March 7th, which will be tomorrow. For more information on this band, Mollus, check out their official website at themollus.com. So, this brand new song from there, from New Gravity, it's called Please, Please, Pris. And for those who don't remember, the character Pris from Blade Runner.
All right.
Let's stick a fork in it. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Blue Onyx.
I'm Tag.
And this is Anvil.
Saying, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps. Ladies and gentlemen,
we are the Bastards.
Enjoy the music.
Shine bright.